Well, it's great to be with you again. Today, I'm going to do something completely different in that I'm going to look at how do we put Christ at the center of our marriage. Now, I know that not everybody's married, but some of these principles that I'm going to talk about are important with regards to relationships and friendships. So I've got a list of things that we're going to go through on how do we put Christ at the center of a marriage. Do you know, oftentimes I've been involved in helping people with marriage difficulties. And I find with Christians that the primary reason they're in real trouble is Christ isn't at the center. Now, Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12 says this, "Though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." And so you have this picture of a threefold cord. And in the old Navy ships, what they would do, all their rope was three cord rope, because in the entwining of it, it becomes very, very strong. And when we entwine Christ at the center of our relationships and marriage, they can become very, very strong. So I'm going to look at a number of things. Number one, then, strengthen your own personal relationship with God. If we're going to put Christ at the center of our marriage, we have got to put Christ at the center of our lives. We need to wake up and say, God, I want to give you my life. When we pray, we should be praying, not my will be done, but your will be done. We should be praying the Lord's Prayer, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But there's this commitment to putting Christ at the center of our own lives, our own personal relationship with God. And we do that by submitting ourselves to God's word. Number two, love God first. God should be preeminent. When a man came to Jesus and asked him about what the greatest commandment was, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And then he said, the second is similar, love your neighbor as yourself. But the preeminent commandment is love God first. See, Christ can't be in the center of anything unless we're loving God first. And do you know what I've found in my life, 30 years of walking with Jesus, as I've put Jesus first, everything else falls into place. It says in Matthew chapter 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all the things of the world, will be added to you. And if you just think about that for a moment, to seek God's kingdom first, the kingdom means the rule of God and his righteousness. It's the ways of God. So we want God to rule and reign in our lives as we seek him. But we need to love him. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll do what I say. So if I want to put Christ at the center of marriage, I've got to put love for God first. Before any partner, before any friends, God is first in my life. Number three, fear the Lord. So the Bible says the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And there's something where we fear and honor God for who he is. And when you fear God, when you honor God, then actually being disobedient to his commandments is an issue. He does love us and he's our heavenly father, but there's another side of it. And you know, he looks for us to follow him. Do you know, when with my children, do you know, we used to create a wonderful loving home, but every now and then I would count, and the children knew that if I counted to five, they'd be in big trouble. And if they didn't do what I said, I'd go one, two. By the time I got to three, they were doing what I've asked them to do. And why? Because they had a healthy fear of their father, that he would bring discipline. So if I want to put Christ in the center of marriage, number four, pray for each other. You know, we should be praying for our spouses. You know, this morning I was praying for Jane. We need to uphold each other with our prayers. We need to pray for the one that we love. And as we pray for them, you know, we're asking God's will to be done in their lives. We're asking for God to fulfill the desires of their heart. But as we pray for them, we're expressing our love for them before the Father. And then similarly like that, number five, pray together. Do you know, it's always good to pray together with your spouse. You know, Jane and I, we pray together regularly. We pray about the issues that we're facing as a couple. We go to the Father with our requests. We go to the Father with our petitions. And we're always praying to the Father separately and together, because I believe in the power of prayer. Number six, put church first. Do you know there are so many distractions, but the Bible says, do not neglect the gathering together of yourselves in Hebrews chapter 10. There's something about coming together as a family to the house of God. There's something about coming together with the saints. And, you know, ever since I've been married, or even beforehand, it was never a question of what do we do on Sundays? We go to church. Now, when we used to go on holiday, I would insist that we went to church wherever we went. And we went to some really bad services. And then we came to this decision that we would only go to church if we found somewhere where we were that we thought would be life-giving to us. And since then, we've been some amazing churches in that time. But, you know, putting church first, there's something about coming to church with your family. You know, there's so many distractions. But every time you decide to do something else other than come into the house of God, you are devaluing church in the eyes of your family. And we need to put church right at the center of who we are, the gathered church, gathering together. Number seven, read God's word together. Share what he's saying to each other. Do you know, read this. This is the most important book that's ever been written. You know, God speaks to it. It's a living word. In lockdown, one of the things that I started to do, I'm trying to read the Bible, and we're sort of coming out of lockdown, and I've almost finished the Bible this year, and I've got so much out of the Bible. But then I share things God is saying. We send texts to each other with scriptures, and we encourage one another, and we get on the same page about things. And, you know, when we're facing challenges, we say, what does the word say about that challenge? And then we put our trust in what the word says. But study the word together. And number eight, ask God to help you change your bad attitudes. I've said it a couple of times now, but at the start of lockdown, with all the pressure and everything, I was just like a bear with a sore tooth. You know, I was just getting angry at the kids, getting angry at Jane all the time. And this went on for about 6 weeks. And the children mentioned that I wasn't behaving very well. And I suddenly realized I was behaving really badly. I had some bad attitudes. And I said to God, God, would you help me? It's not right and it's not fair that I'm losing my temper. And, you know, in the first 6 weeks of lockdown, it was like I was losing my temper almost every day. And in the last 6 months, I've hardly lost my temper. You know, I have lost my temper, just to let you know, I'm not perfect, but I haven't had this pattern of losing my temper all the time, because I went to God. I said, God, give me your grace. Change me. You know, one of the things I say to people in marriage is this, is you cannot change your partner, and it's not your job to change your partner, but you can ask God to change you, because if you become a better you, then you're going to have a better marriage. So if you just imagine what you bring to the table, if you're bringing more to the table of your marriage, then it's going to improve. But don't seek to change your partner. Seek for God to change you. And, you know, it's as we change, we become more desirable to our partner. We become a better fit because we are changing into the image of Christ. Number nine, help each other grow in your relationship with God. You know, encourage each other. Encourage each other in the scriptures. Encourage each other in walks of faith. Strengthen somebody when they're going through some struggles or doubts. And we should be doing that. We should be using the word to encourage one another. So it says of David that he encouraged himself in the Lord. And, you know, that's part of marriage, because, you know, when one is down, the other can bring the other up. And me and Jane have found that when one is discouraged, the other will encourage. And by encouraging each other mutually and helping each other mutually, helping us grow in our relationship with God, then, you know, we have grown together and flourished together. Sometimes, well, not sometimes, I have lots of blind spots. And one of the wonderful things about Jane is she helps me with my blind spots, and I help her with her blind spots. And we're encouraging each other to grow in our Christian faith. Number 10, be reminded that your partner is fearfully and wonderfully made by God. you know, in a image conscious multimedia generation, body image and all this sort of stuff is just like, you know, at the forefront. But, you know, I don't need to compare my wife to somebody on TV. It's not real. It's not real what you see on. What is real is that my wife is fearfully and wonderfully made. I need to appreciate what God has given me, the gift that she's given me, and her and me. And as we appreciate our strengths and our weaknesses, and we appreciate one another, you know, there's something about how we grow together. You know, don't compare. You know, I say regularly, I'm so glad that I married you. And you know why I say it? Because it's the truth. I am really, really glad. Number 11, apply the 1 Corinthians 13 in your relationship. Now, let me just remind you of what 1 Corinthians 13 says. It says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. You know, we need to apply this in our interrelations. We need to ask God to help us that we would be patient and kind, that we wouldn't insist on our own way. Do you know how many marriages struggle because people insist on their own way without laying down their wills to one another? But let's apply that in our relationships. Number 12, look for the counsel of spiritually mature individuals. Do you know, sometimes, you know, we have troubles in our marriages. We have problems. We have difficulties. Everybody does. Everybody goes through times where it's tougher and times where it's easier. You know, and sometimes it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to ask for counsel. And you know, every time I meet with a couple that is struggling, you know, I think, okay, Alex, let's make sure my garden and my marriage is okay. And sometimes Jane and I, we've asked for the wisdom or counsel, or we take the wisdom of the Word of God. Or sometimes it's good to read books. And I would recommend the 5 Love Languages book. That's a really good book on communicating love. But it's okay to ask for help. It's not shameful that you're struggling. It's okay. And you can get lots of help. Number 13, serve God together. Do you know, when we serve God together, when we get involved together, that there's something amazingly strong about that. It's you know, and I appreciate that some people, they're married to people who don't know Christ, and I know that it's difficult, but if you both know Christ, find something you can do together. Maybe both join the next generation ministries, the children's church, the baby buds, get involved, or whatever it is. I don't want to be too prescriptive, but it's like, what can you do to make a difference? Some of you have fostered and adopted children. That is a ministry in itself. And, you know, God's heart is to the fatherless. So, but serve God together. Ask him what you can do together. Number 14, manage your money together as stewards of God's blessing. Now, I can spend a whole evening talking about money management and money, but let's just say this, is put God at the center of your finances. How do I do that? By being stewards. All everything that you have and everything that I have belongs to God. Therefore, we manage our money in godly ways with godly principles. And finally, treat each other with grace, just like how Jesus treats you. Do you know, we just need to give grace and mercy to one another, because that's what, you know, that's what Jesus does for us. And we need to be loving and caring, because, you know, whatever your struggles, I believe this is, if when we put Christ in the center, you know, everything changes. So just to wrap up by saying this is, every Christian should put Christ in the center of their lives. But when we put Christ in the center of our marriage, he becomes the third cord that pulls us together and strengthens us. So God bless you, and see you soon.